Good morning, everyone. See you guys. Have fun. Thanks, Barb, for your encouraging and inspiring message. I think from now on I'll have a couple of glasses of wine when I prepare a talk for you guys. And maybe a couple or one before doing it and during. And I saw a show during the week where some people were visiting a church for the first time. And they said, they have wine here, don't they? Just thinking it was that the priest has wine and they do these sort of things with wine all the time. But let me read to you from 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy gave us a new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by the power of God are safeguarded through faith, to a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the final time. In this you rejoice, although now for a little while you may have to suffer through various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may prove to be for praise, glory, and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Although you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. You rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy as you attain the goal of faith, the salvation of souls. What a marvellous passage. We're talking today about hope. Strangely, we've had a few references to it today already. Living hope. We know about so-called dead faith and an alive faith. A faith that doesn't drive you to do something. Something that you feel is right and good is dead, or on life support at least. I think the whole of humanity is on life support, waiting for that revelation of Jesus Christ. Without the plan God has presented through the Gospels, we'd be dead long ago. Or taken over by such indescribable, unimaginable evil, we can't begin to conceive what this world would be like. But what about hope? We use that word a lot in our day-to-day speak, I think. But what does it mean? Are there meanings that are misleading or untrue about hope? Hope is not faith. Faith is not hope. But they are used together a lot. We'll find out why. God didn't build the ark by putting hope in Noah. Sarah didn't become pregnant because God gave her hope. Did Adam hope that God would avert what must have seemed like a imminent catastrophe as he continued with his directions to sacrifice his son? All these people had hope. God had enabled within them a living hope, not founded on physical resources or solutions to their considerable challenges. But he also gave them a faith that enabled an understanding of God's purposes being played out in their lives. Not a moment to them, not for a moment to them, but in and through them by faith. I used to naively think that God called certain people like Saul, who became Paul, and we can think of anyone, Noah, Moses, pick a person from the Bible, that they were expressly commandeered for God's purposes. but rather God granted them a faith, a gift of faith, of belief at first, and then a faith that gave them a reason for being, a reason for living the life they lived, for doing the things that they had to do. A faith that enabled them to endure many severe hardships and life-threatening experiences and still turn up for work the next day. Still getting on with the task that God had set before them. How many years did Noah labour with the ark? Some suggest 70 years. 70 years building an ark? I can't think of any of these people scattered through here who gave up. If we have hope, we don't give up. Hope waits for good things. Faith ensures that they exist. Hope, this living hope, is mentioned in the verse that we like to talk about when we go to talk about faith. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, this isn't some strange physical spiritual coupling where faith is a gift from God, but hope is something that we have to make up, something that we provide, something that we bring to the party. God provides the faith, and we somehow have to come up with the hope to go along with the faith that he gifts us with. If we don't have hope, we'd give up. But we keep on trusting. We don't give up. We keep on looking for the answers, the solutions that God might provide for us, that show us a better way to live. A way that's not like the normal, natural way that we get up with each morning, but the one that we pursue because we go into prayer with God and he gives us something for the day. Something to address the challenges. Something to address the disappointments. And we're all changing. Sometimes not for the better, because we take things into our own hands. And we try and sort out our own solutions, our own problems, our own way. Humanly, we hope that our selfishness will not bring the consequences that we sense it will. Humanly, we hope that sin will not affect us or others in the way that it will. This is an empty hope based on lies and false reasoning. In Romans 12 and verse 12, Paul says to us to rejoice in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. What a combination. Hope, perseverance, and prayer. With the world's kind of hope, we can hardly rejoice in it. It's more of an, if it'll only work out the way I want it to, attitude. We despair and we cling to hope as a last resort. This isn't the way God portrays hope, a living hope that Jesus died so that we might have. When it's linked with faith as God intended it to be, there's a guaranteed positive outcome. When God calls us, when he speaks a word and says, I want you, he never sends a word out and comes back to him empty. It always accomplishes what he sent it to do. Always. Always. When he calls us, something's going to happen and keep happening. He expects his word to accomplish things in our life. Until the day we die. leading us toward salvation, leading us toward transformation, change, maturity, growth, love for one another and for the miserable world that we live in. In Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of your calling. Actually, it's the hope of his calling. God's in charge of the calling, and it goes out with a hope that his word will accomplish what he sent it to do. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of his strength, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. That's where our hope resides, in this reborn Son of God. This Son brought back to life and sitting at his Father's right hand in heaven. Without hope, faith loses traction. Without hope, faith loses traction. Without faith, hope seems pointless. Without faith, hope seems pointless. Simply a wishful tendency to want something better than we deserve or can naturally expect. So let's be sure to have a clear vision of what God has gifted us with. He doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies those he calls. Us. Once again, we think of people like Paul and Moses and Noah and Jonah and all these people. It wasn't easy. Even Jesus wanted to give up, but he didn't. And God took these people and transformed them before our very eyes as we read about their lives in minute detail. David and the sins that go with all these people. They were lazy. They were too emotional. They were like prostitutes. They were adulterers. They were murderers. But God took them as they were and equipped them, qualified them, transformed them, just as he is with us. We are the equipped. We are the qualified because God has changed us and made us what we are in him. Just to go back and read a little bit of 1 Peter 1 again. Blessed be the God of hope and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy gave us a birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Although you have not seen him, you believe in him. And you love him. And you rejoice with an indescribable joy as you attain the goal of your faith, the salvation of souls. Let's ask ourselves, what is faith urging us to change in our life? What is that quiet little word that comes when we take the time to listen? What changes do you feel are important, pressing, because of the faith that is growing in you and me? Your faith is growing. Trust is growing. More in God and less in the world. Our focus is moving towards God and away from what we would define as independence and self-righteousness. confidence in what we can do, what we can accomplish on our own, becomes less important. Let's think on the living faith and the living hope that God has sent to us. Just as he did for Noah and Moses and Ruth and all the others who showed what it was like to believe and trust in the only living God. Faith is what God uses to accomplish his purposes in us. Faith is what God uses to accomplish his purposes in us. Through faith, he built an ark, a nation. Today and for the last few millennia, he's building a family, a royal priesthood, kings and queens to rule a new world to come, all through faith and hope, a living hope that gives faith wings.